It's been a lot. It's been a real great show today. You're doing great. We're having fun. But I can be better. I won't be better. A lot to get to here. Obviously, we got still reeling from the John Harbaugh news. We got names and names aplenty. Kevin Stefanski. Is he going to be the Giants head coach? So many different things to touch on with our buddy, Odyssey NFL Insider. Ross Tucker Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And he joins us now on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Ross, happy end of the season. Happy postseason.
Yeah, happy to talk with you guys. I know you guys are happy this week. You got Stefanski fired. Congratulations. I know that was a big goal of yours for a while.
Well, we'll see who's next, Ross. I've toppled one king.
Yeah, Ross, if only we had that kind of power. You know what I mean? The amount of changes we'd make to this team, this roster, this everything, it'd be limitless.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What other moves would you make?
Well, we'd have a better offense than what we had last year, Ross.
Yeah, I would have already fired Andrew Berry, too.
I would have had a way different offensive line. Maybe we would have had a better wide receiver than Jerry Jeudy. No, we definitely would have had a better wide receiver than Jerry Jeudy. There would have been a lot. Mm. A lot done.
All right, tell me who you would hire now as the head coach.
John Harbaugh.
Yeah, not full stop. Not
Thank
even.
You next.
Yeah, that's easy. And then if there's a fallout here where, like, he's just waiting for the Packers to lose, to fire LaFleur, something like that, and so then he goes, then we'll take LaFleur, too. That's no question there.
And we're not that picky.
That's interesting. The Harbaugh thing, that would be fascinating. I mean, I think it's so – I go on all these different radio stations around the country, and they're always like, what's the best job? You know, what's the best job? I think now the Ravens' job is the best job. You have a MVP quarterback in his prime. But for the other ones, it's such a complicated question. Like, I need to see in front of me all of the different draft choices. I think that the Browns fare very well there. I need to see the cap space. Obviously, ownership matters. I think quarterback matters a great deal. Young talent on the roster matters a great deal. So what's fascinating about that is that there are areas where I think Cleveland's probably the top, and then other areas not so much. The one thing they do offer John Harbaugh that these other openings cannot is the ability to play the Ravens and Lamar Jackson twice a year. And, you know, maybe that's intriguing to him. Maybe that's appealing to him. Maybe staying in the division – is something he's excited about. Maybe he has no interest. Only he could answer that.
I guess this is we're kind of at a weird spot because Harbaugh's out there, and that shook up a lot of people's searches, even ones that weren't open. Kevin Stefanski is, he had dinner with the Giants last night. He's interviewing today. Do you still think Kevin Stefanski is the guy that's going to end up in New York, or do you think that maybe Harbaugh takes the lead on that?
I do think that they both will get jobs immediately, which I feel like doesn't happen that often. I don't know, like off the top of my head, how often does a guy get fired and then right away gets another job? It just doesn't seem like it happens that much, but it feels like it's going to happen with both of them because there's kind of no Ben Johnson. I don't even think there's like a Vrabel this year in terms of either a guy that was out for a year or a hotshot coordinator that everybody wants. So on some level, it feels like that helps Stefanski and Harbaugh get hired, which I believe they will if that's what they want. You know, I think it's probably somewhat appealing to get paid for a year to do nothing. Sounds great to me, actually. But, you know, you got to strike while the iron is hot. The Giants gig is really fascinating one to me because – I'm not overly excited about that one. I mean, first of all, you know, I know you guys don't like Andrew Berry, but I would take Andrew Berry 10 times out of 10 over Joe Shane in New York.
I would take Shane's kid over Joe Shane.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, so that's number one. And then I am not – I think it's wrong to say I'm not a Jackson Dart guy. What I would say is I would not put my livelihood on Jackson Dart's shoulders because I think the thing on top of his shoulders the brain is not wired the way I want it to be wired. Look, as an offensive lineman, I love how aggressive he is. I love his mindset. I love the young moxie. We were all 22, 23 at one point. It was amazing. I wish I could go back tomorrow. But I just don't think he's going to last very long. I just don't think his mindset, I don't think he gets it. And that would scare me incredibly to say, okay, I'm going to go to the Giants and I'm gonna bet on Jackson Dart as my guy.
All right, Ross, I want you to shoot us straight because sometimes we live in these bubbles and we get excited about things. Like, are we being unrealistic about the chances of Harbaugh here?
It's a long pause. It was a real long pause.
Yeah, it is a long pause.
Yeah, the pause might have told us everything we needed to know.
Or maybe it's just
you don't
thinking.
Have to. You can shoot us straight. You don't have to be. No kid gloves here, Ross.
No, I don't think you are being unrealistic. I mean, what's the other opening that's so much better?
No, as of right now, it doesn't exist, in my opinion. But like again, we brought up the Packers, we brought up the Bills. I think most Browns fans understand if either of those two teams end up losing this weekend and they fire their coach, then okay, we lose out to a team with a franchise quarterback, everything set. Like it's that's perfectly fine. But like there's hope here, Ross, and I just want to know that we're not losing our minds.
You know, I don't know the answer to that. You'd have to be inside his brain, and you'd have to know how he feels about Andrew Berry. You know, the thing that's interesting about Harbaugh is I don't know what he thinks of Joe Shane or Andrew Berry or Mike Borgonzi in Tennessee, for that matter. But it does kind of feel like he has enough leverage that he could probably kibosh the GM if he wanted to.
Sure could.
So I wonder, you know, what he thinks of, you know, those guys in each of those places. Or if he already has a guy ready to roll and says, that's the place I'm going to go. So when I gave you those, you know, those things that I think you're looking for in a potential stop, I think the Browns have a pretty nice young core as a result of the most recent draft. I think the Browns, I mean, you guys would know, but obviously they got the extra first-round picks. What is their... Give me their draft pick breakdown the next couple of years.
Number six pick this year, and it's as low as 24, but obviously as high as 32. And so then I think it's a 37th or 38th pick. And then the rest of their picks through the sixth round with another fifth rounder in there. And then next year they have all their picks.
So
it's 10 picks total for this draft.
Yeah. You know, so the Jags being kind of awesome screwed you guys a little bit.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Hey, you still got another first rounder. I don't know. It screwed you.
Well, it would have been much better if they were like a 5-win team, I think is what Ross is getting at.
No, I got you.
Yeah, well, like when Andrew Berry made that trade, he did not think the Jags were going to be this good. And now, look, I think he would have made it anyway. But, you know, they do the calculations, and they probably based off the Vegas season win total, which is probably like 8 or 7.5 for the Jags. So they probably thought they were going to get a top 15 pick. It's like the opposite of the Jets, who made the trade with the Colts, thinking the Colts, that might be a 30th pick for Sauce Gardner. Instead, the Colts totally, you know, pooped the bed, and now the Jets get a much better pick because of what happened to the Colts after that trade. That part of it's kind of fascinating. Look, that's still good. I would say John Harbaugh would still be excited about that. Because he's got a pretty good track record of getting really good players at the end of the first round. You know, look at what the Ravens have done when he was there. I would love to know what he thinks of Jimmy Haslam. Would love to know what he thinks of Andrew Berry. And I would also love to know how much he would like to stay in the AFC North and or try to stick it to the Ravens. Maybe that's appealing to him. Maybe it's the exact opposite.
Ross, it was interesting. Jimmy Haslam on Monday, after firing Kevin Stefanski, said he thought that this year the Browns could have won more than 5 games. Also, Andrew Berry came out and said it was beyond wins. It was about some of the other stuff, some of the other things that they could measure that they didn't think there was enough growth in. So I guess we'll just bring it to this. Do you think that the Browns were better than a 5-win team this year?
Yeah, I think they probably were a 6-7 win team. 6-7. I think 6-7 win.
8-9.
But I don't think they were much more than that. I mean, I remember talking with people at when the Browns played the Eagles in the preseason game and those scrimmages, those joint practices. I even had people associated with the Browns tell me that they thought if everything went well, they were a 7-win team. And they end up winning 5. We can all point to the games, like the devastating ones, like the Jets or whatever, that they very easily could have won 6 or 7. But people also weren't expecting them, you know, to beat the Steelers and the Bengals, you know, these last 2 weeks and finish the way they did. I don't know. 5 wins actually seems pretty good to me with the quarterback play they got. I mean, they got bottom 2 or 3 quarterback play in the league through the course of the year. Certainly bottom 5. So, I don't know. Winning 5 games doesn't seem that bad to me.
Have you spent any time around Dan Pitcher at all? He's interviewing for the Browns job.
I have not. I do not know him very well. That is an interesting one to me.
Could you?
Did not call the plays, correct?
Correct.
He didn't call them, no. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to, but I think it's like that. Like, I always wonder how that happens. He's obviously held in high regard for whatever reason, but it's like, okay, we're interested in the non-play caller coordinator for an underachieving team that has an elite quarterback and the best receiver duo in the NFL. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's the greatest coach of all time, but I feel like that I would be skeptical.
Ross, Dante Moore of Oregon, Fernando Mendoza of Indiana meet up this weekend. Is this game for the right to go to the national championship and to be the number one pick in the NFL draft?
Maybe, although I would say that I think it feels like Mendoza has a pretty decent edge there. I also think, whether he ever says this publicly or not, I think that Mendoza, the way he plays, kind of reminds Brady of Brady. I think Mendoza plays the way that Brady thinks you should play. He's like a slightly nerdier, more mobile Brady. You know, when you watch him play, he's very smart, accurate, clutch. Kind of reminds me of Brady a little bit. So I think that, by the way, all of these people out there saying that Dante Moore should stay at Oregon, are they out of their minds? I mean,
I'm one of them. I don't think he's ready.
What does that mean?
That means he has less than 25 career starts.
$40 million fully guaranteed.
Is he ready to get the second contract? Is he ready to have the best crack at that? Because who cares about that first bit of money? If you fall short on getting the second contract for $50 million a year, you've got something up front, but then you lost the long-term bet there.
I just don't think you can do that. I mean, ask Drew Aller, ask Garrett Nussmeier, ask a million people. If you are going to be, he would get $53 million, okay? Let's say Oregon makes him the highest-paid quarterback in college football. That's $6 million. That's wonderful. Good for him. $53 million? You cannot make that bet.
Yeah, but it's $53 million versus a chance at having a better $300 million contract down the road, right? Because the more college ball you play, once you get over the 25 career starts, the better chance you have to hit that second deal.
Yeah, but if you are great, you get to that second contract 1 year sooner, too. So that is, in essence, a $50 million bet in both ways, to Ross's point.
So what I think is, and I know there's statistics out there about how many starts a guy has in college and blah, blah, blah. The idea that him starting another year in college is going to be the difference between him having success in the NFL or not, I just don't really buy that. I think it really comes down more to the guy and then the situation they go into. I know the Jets are not an ideal situation. We can have that discussion. who knows what his situation would be next year. And by the way, with some of these other quarterbacks like Arch Manning or whatever, he might not even be the number two pick next year. This isn't Brewster's Millions, okay? This isn't like, hey, let me spend $30 million so I can make $300 million. This is real life. This is not a movie, Nick. This is real life. And if there's no chance, if he was your brother or your son, that you would say to him, I think you should stay in school so you have a better chance to maybe get $50 million a year 5 years from now.
It's 100%. Yeah, it's called long-term perspective. I would 100% coach my kid to do that. If I thought that to be true, yes.
Then you're an idiot. You're an idiot. We've known it for a while, but you're $50 million. You're set for life.
By the way, you're supposed to be Mr. Ivy Leaguer, you know, and you're shooting down analytics over there, friendo.
Start investing that money already, right away, at 20 years old.
Give me compound interest there, Mr. Moneybags. All right, buddy, we know you got another hit to get to, so we appreciate
you. I'm going to go on a show where they have smart people like Jonathan and not people like Nick. Later, dudes.
Probably not true. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. It's like a real thing.
No, what he actually had a hit he had to go to is the other part of this. Yeah. People aren't going to believe that because it got a little contentious there. And everybody, that's a convenient to send him packing. No, we had it in the thing the entire time. We had to get out at 18.
The man talks like an intellectual.
He clearly
does not understand the push and pull and why teams believe in. Like, listen, if you want to say Dante Moore was on year two starting and this is about year three, okay, that's fair. The difference between 27 career starts and 41, I can understand if you want to have that. There's a reason that 25 career starts is the line.
I would imagine you're really not happy with Ty Simpson right now.
No, or Dante Moore. Again, Ty Simpson, I think he left because I think he got forced out. I talked to a buddy, ironically, a buddy that follows Bama, and it covers Bama, and says, yeah, Ty wasn't going to be the starter next year because they don't want to lose the kid they just got last year, their freshman going into his sophomore year. So that's a different thing. But Dante Moore could be a star in the NFL. But if you go a year early, do I think you have a 25% chance more of being a bust? 100%. Why? Because the numbers say it. Ross is a numbers guy. Come on now. I've said come on now twice. Thank you. Ross appeared on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Right hotline.
I also tend to agree more with Ross than you on this one.
Well, you can be wrong, too. We'll be back to Ross in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I absolutely want to know what John Harbaugh thinks about Andrew Berry. If I'm Jimmy Haslam, so I know whether Andrew Berry is going to be here next year or not.
Yeah, I just need to know. Yeah. Like, do you like him? Okay, great. And if you don't, that's fine, too. We'll just figure it out from there. And there is a world that exists, by the way, where Harbaugh would take the job and be like, yeah, it's fine. Andrew Berry can be the one in charge.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think a lot of people are supposing that they know what Harbaugh might feel about Andrew Berry. We don't know. That would be a crucial thing you have to find out. That was Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. I will say, I think there are too many people just saying doom and gloom and nothing, there's no chance. And I think something, to point back to something you said yesterday, that's a lot about protecting your feelings or just crapping on the Browns.
Yeah, that seems about right. And I don't know. That's why I wanted Ross to shoot us straight, because we don't need kids' gloves or anything like that. Like, shoot us straight. Are we being unreasonable? Because there's enough people out there right now that are telling us that we're being unreasonable with this. And the Browns have no chance, and the Browns aren't even competitors and all this. And I hate to go back to the Deshaun Watson thing, but they showed you they can get things done. And like, is there an owner out there in the NFL, Nick, that you know of that would subvert rules or find some creative or different way to get something done more so than Jimmy Haslam?
Well, they're all billionaires.
They're all good at this. But the key difference that Haslam has over everybody else in these discussions,
he's done it on every plane of existence.
He doesn't care about pissing off his friends or these other owners that are perceived to be friends. Think about it. When he gave Deshaun that $230 million guaranteed, he knew half the owners were going to be so mad at him, they'd never speak to him again. He does not care. And like, part of the reason why but some owners got mad at what happened with Sean Payton and the amount of money that he ended up getting from the family that owns Walmart is because they realized, oh no, you blew coaching salaries out of the water. You took it to another stratosphere. We can't play. If it's $25 million a year is the new offer, we don't want to keep up with that. We don't want to do that. And Jimmy Haslam don't care.
$30 million a year.
He doesn't
care. Just give him $30 million a year. Give him $35. I don't give a rat's.
He doesn't care at all. He'll go ahead and give you whatever number you want to be the head coach. And he does not care at the idea that the owners would get mad at him because boo-hoo. The owners always get mad at Jimmy Haslam. He has a friend that I know of as an owner across the NFL. I'm sure he's got a couple. But, like, legitimately, he's made so many of them mad because he doesn't cater to their rules.
So
they're good old boys club.
I think the other thing that Ross touched on was something that I tweeted last night that I was feeling. Curious, I didn't mention during the show because it was something then floating around my head. The Browns do offer John Harbaugh something that if he desires it, nobody really else can, and that is spite. Being right. In this division, and I'm going to say this, the Harbaughs, as good, all good Christian men, all very loving dudes, very great family people, love every bit of that, right? For all that, you don't cross them. They don't care to be crossed. And if you cross them, they want to shove your nose in it. Jim Harbaugh has done this many times, whether it's Ohio State that we saw countless times, whether it was still hating Trent Baalke a decade later in San Francisco.
Rightfully so.
I'm going to say that John Harbaugh is not wired too differently from what we've seen. The spite thing about this, and honestly, it's my favorite part about this.
Oh, for sure. Larry David Spite story. Easy.
The Kevin Stefanski conversation we had earlier of, man, Kevin goes to Baltimore and it's good. Your next head coach doesn't work out. That's going to be rough. There's going to be some conversations there. Yeah, that goes the same way for Harbaugh. If they replace him with Jesse Minter stinks, and John Harbaugh comes here, and all of a sudden, Cleveland is the new Baltimore.
But you see how we're building some roads to how he ends up landing here. You see how we're doing it. And yes, you got to, how I even thought earlier today, like, how much do you care about impressing childhood you? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about this with Jeremiah Smith when Jax wanted to see if he'd go to Miami because he grew up a kid that wanted to play for the U and was infatuated with that. And it's like, how much does this version of John Harbaugh, I don't know. I mean, how much they care about impressing 12-year-old version of John Harbaugh, who grew up a Browns fan in a Browns household, everything else like that. I don't know. I mean, it's different for everybody. He might not care at all about that scenario. Or it might be like some of us out there that, like, think impressing 10-year-old version of ourselves is, like, it's why I buy as many Jordans as I do. I don't even buy that many. But, like, when I was 10, I couldn't afford Jordans at all. They became much cheaper.
Pat could.
Now I can afford it. She wouldn't buy me any Jordans, though.
Yeah.
If that was the going rate, who knows what could have happened?
You can't. Yeah, you got to dangle the carrot, but you never give them the carrot.
There's a generation of people my age that have a bunch of Jordans because at 10 we couldn't afford them, and now we're adults with jobs that can, especially since they're cheaper now. And so we do. Like there is a part of you that still wants to impress the 10-year-old version of you. And so maybe John Harbaugh would be interested in that version. I don't know.
I just sent him a picture of an S&B like, we did it, little buddy.
Yeah.
We did it.
What was your biggest dream at 10?
Snag a hot blonde.
That was
we
it?
Did
All
it.
Right. Then,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, at 10, that was right around the time of, like, when do I get to actually do something? That's right when we started.
That's what you were thinking at about 10?
Yeah.
At 10 is when you realized.
At 9, Legos, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, wrestlers.
So ten, much of you is about blonde. the sexual innuendos, and so I wanted to know at what point that
was. Right when I hit.
That kind of kicked in?
That's when my gooner maturation began.
Yeah. And what'd you discuss at, like, 7? I have no idea.
Yeah, Legos. Yeah, had some take on, like, computers, stuff like that. And then 10, blondes. Yep. And that's where we are today. With one blonde.
There you go.
Lacquer.
You and Tiger Woods.
I didn't marry a Denny's waitress, for the love of God.
It was a Perkins.
Would have been better if it was a Denny's waitress. That being said, Ross also debated the quarterback market. Ty Simpson, Alabama's quarterback, announcing he was coming out today, and then decided to have this off-road about Dante Moore, Oregon's quarterback, and whether he should go back or not.
All of these people out there saying that Dante Moore should stay at Oregon, are they out of their minds? I just don't think you can do that. I mean, ask Drew Aller, ask Garrett Nussmeier, ask a million people. He would get $53 million, okay? Let's say Oregon makes him the highest paid quarterback in college football. That's $6 million. That's wonderful. Good for him. $53 million, you cannot make that bet. There's no chance if he was your brother or your son that you would say to him, I think you should stay in school so you have a better chance to maybe get $50 million a year 5 years from now.
There's very little difference between Ross's condescending voice and his normal voice. here's the thing. Drew Aller, if he came out last year, wouldn't have been drafted. He wouldn't have. He might not be drafted this year if he comes out. So Drew Aller didn't have a good enough playoff to catapult him into being drafted. Garrett Nussmeier as well. So those are null and void. Like those guys weren't coming out last year and being first-round picks. There was no buzz. The whole point was if Drew Aller had continued on playing well, he didn't. He had one good game in the playoff, and the rest of the games weren't good.
I think he's mentioning basically the amount of players, and you throw Sellers in there, you can throw Klubnik in there, the amount of players that in playing this year, even if they were forced to because their draft position wasn't high enough, you just watch their draft stock completely tank. And so like that, I think that's kind of what he's
why would we think Dante's draft stock would tank? He's at Oregon. They perpetually rebuild and reload with their they reload with their talent. I think it's funny. I think a lot of people go, oh, Dante Moore's ready. There's a reason why the 25 career start thing matters. And it's not like he's going, this isn't 1999. He's not going back so he can get like a used pair of cleats from Oregon when he graduates. It's $6 million. So you get the $6 million. Next year, you're still going to get the $50 million. And then you're still going to get, but again,
we see how these draft boards constantly change from 1 year to the next, though. Like it's, I think there's a lack of a guarantee there, even though I agree with the initial assessment. I don't think Dante Moore is going to all of a sudden suck a year from now. But that's why if you're Dante Moore, there's really not a wrong choice that you can make in this discussion, because either way, you think the end result is you being awesome. And if you really think you're that great, then the end result is you getting that second contract the same way the beginning result is you getting the initial $53 million or you stay for another year and get six.
Yeah, but this is why like good representation, good advice actually pays is because Dante Moore, the athlete's always going to think he's ready to go.
Right.
Like, he's the king of Oregon, for the love of God.
But it is in many ways. It is, like you mentioned it being a $50 million bet on the front of it, but it is a $50 million bet for when you start your NFL career and then get the second contract. Because that starts ticking the moment that you get into the NFL. And so if you have a 10-year career instead of an 11-year career, you did, in fact, cost yourself the late part of your career, whatever number that is in between, which would be, if you're as good as you think you are, $50 million.
Okay.
Right? It's a big bet.
But the obvious opportunity to kind of push back on that is, if you go a year early, and again, data says under 25 starts, it's really hard to make the jump. And it's not just 25 starts in college. You need a lot of high school experience as well. You need a wealth of experience to have a decent chance to get that second contract and be an elite quarterback in the NFL. I think Dante Moore is different than Mendoza. I think Mendoza will be a nice quarterback. I think it'll be Jared Goff. There's nothing wrong with being Jared Goff. I think Ty Simpson is a scrub. I don't want any part of Ty Simpson. I don't think he probably wasn't even the best quarterback on Alabama. If you hear Alabama fans talk about it and Alabama media talk about it, I don't want any part of it, which means he'll be the sixth pick in the draft this year.
I was going to say, which means it's going to be the trade down for the Browns from 6 to 15, and then they draft him.
I'm getting my revisionist history ready for this one.
He actually really seems like a Steelers draft pick in like the mid-teens.
Yeah, I love that.
Mid-teens,
love
early 20s,
that.
Whatever that ends up being.
Give him time to sit behind Aaron Rodgers for six games before Aaron tears his Achilles again. But no, I think Dante Moore can be a great quarterback in the NFL. But I also think raw is the worst thing to be in the NFL. I think raw and playing early as a number two pick overall, and we can point to Mark Sanchez. Like you can say, oh, well, Mark Sanchez disproved Pete Carroll, who said come back for one more year because he was in the AFC title games twice. What about that second contract for Mark Sanchez?
So more so for myself, more so than, and I do agree with the idea that getting as many reps as possible is never a bad thing. It's never a bad thing. Like that's why Justin Herbert going back for his senior year, it did ding him as far as his draft board was concerned. But you know what? It didn't matter. It was fine. You know what I mean? But I think where you land matters so much. And it's something I used to, and not discredit, but I definitely used to, I don't weigh as much as I do right now. If I was a quarterback, like if it was my brother, for instance, we talk about that, I would heavily weigh the situations that you are potentially being drafted towards as much as you can. You can't control all of it, obviously.
Dante?
If I was Dante and I knew it was going to be the Jets at number two, I don't want that situation.
Also, getting back to the idea of NFL ready versus getting paid as soon as possible. I know you might want to be the number two pick this draft, or the number one pick in this draft, as opposed to the number four. I think you need to think long term and about what sets you up for the biggest potential payday and more success at the college level, more starts. You got to get above 25. Get above 25 career starts and give yourself a real chance to succeed in the NFL. Doesn't mean it won't happen, in fairness, because that's another part of this.
By the way.
But at the same point, you just.
By the way,
somebody
though,
talk to this young man. At least understand, like, help him understand why it would make
there
sense.
There is the other side of this. Like in Ty Simpson's case, if you just think you're an absolute fraud, then go get that back. You know, what a team overdraft you. What a team give you that first round check and then. You know it's going to stink, but that's fine. Take your money because you know what you want. To, rather get exposed at the NFL level than the college football level.
Fake it till you make it. If you had a son, if you had a nephew,
why did you say it?
Would
that
you
way?
Tell him to go back to college or so? Go get your $50 million, young man. I was trying to do the Ross thing, but I can't. His condescending voice is higher. I couldn't go higher right now. Now, Mike Tomlin, is he the obvious choice? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. It wouldn't be good for me. I shouldn't say it, but it would be very. It would be interesting. I think people would have an opinion whether I got big time or not.
Well, I mean, everyone has an opinion if you got big timed.
Well, yeah, but because it involves another Cleveland media member, then we're really cooking with gas.
No, it started so many years ago. I let everyone off the hook for our we have a bunch of videos and things everywhere because for the longest time, that was one of the deals. Nobody knew what any of us looked like.
I got big time too many times when I was nobody, so now I definitely...
But nobody knew what you looked like at the time or what I looked at the time. No one before
3 years
these,
ago, Barrett Sports Media had a whole write-up on me.
Oh, and then they got to be inside the radio trades? Like, what are we doing here? Come on. Like, no one
Barrett
knew what
Sports
we looked
Media
like.
Media is across multiple brands of media now.
No one knew what we looked like. Now we're on YouTube. Now we have all the videos that go out. Now people know what we look like.
They follow me on social media.
You got one photo of yourself, for half the...
You are bending over backwards for this not to be
ago,
a deal
no.
in a way that makes me think it's a damn deal.
3 years ago, your profile pic was like you slouched over
same.
In a chair or something with your hat backwards with like the Bowling Green hat.
Which that is exactly
was like your
the
profile
situation
pic for like
I was
years.
In.
That was like, it was like 7 years as a profile pic. That didn't even show your face.
Yes, it does. It's the same picture. It's me with seven microphones in front of my face because I'm making fun of everybody.
No. You know, Mac knows exactly the one I'm talking about. The one with... It's like it covers his face. He's like backwards falling asleep or something with a BGSU hat on.
No, this is the same one.
No. It's
I know
cover
the same
photo.
One for
the
years.
Cover photo. That one. That's the one. That was your profile.
You people
photo.
Look at the cover photo over. You are so. You're going to make me say it on air.
I just don't think you got big
you
time.
Just, I got big
I give
time
people the benefit
so
of the doubt.
Hard.
They didn't know what you looked like. They didn't know what I looked like. No one knew what we looked like until a year ago.
And that person happens to, I think, belong
about a year and a half ago.
Adjacent to the group that clearly will never be in the Nick Wilson business.
I don't think that person cares.
The cabal. All right? The cabal's out on Nick Wilson, and that's fine. Because he's out on them. But this one, I think he's adjacent to it.
I think he's a nice guy.
Probably is a very nice guy.
I've had nice interactions.
But he's not in the Nick Wilson
business.
Not in the Nick Wilson business...
It's like a real sweetheart.
I'm gonna have to honk.
I mean,
I'll
honk. I'll go with you if you want me to. But like, it's always been really nice to me. It's all I ever judge people off of. But like, you got to give people the benefit. If they snubbed you 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. It's not your fault. It's not our fault that we didn't have like streaming up all the time and all these different ways for people to know what we look like. But you know, we got there. We got there for a very long time. That was just the reality.
You're downplaying it for some reason, making me more certain that I got snubbed.
We used to have the tailgates and all these different remotes, and then people would come up, and then with to a man, they'd be like, I didn't think that's what you'd look like. And I go, I know everyone says that, I guess.
I'm a fat Hungarian. I couldn't look more like what I described myself
For myself, that's how it usually goes. It's like, I didn't think you'd look like that. And I go, well, what did you think I'd look like? And they go, I didn't really know.
Most of the time, just not that.
And I'd be like, okay.
Most of the time, okay. They would just be like,
be
I honestly thought you'd be slightly skinnier.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you don't sound that fat. And then they look at me and they're like, oh, he is that fat. Okay. For a long time, like when I was
younger.
That's
how people know that you're not hamming it up then, I guess, you know, like, or you're not exaggerating with
it. When I was like 290 or 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And I would tell people this in college. I remember, it's a great conversation starter because we were like, you do not look that fat, which is nice because there's a bit of honesty there. I do look fat, but I don't look that fat, right? Right.
Well, you don't.
Now I look that fat.
You don't carry it with a slob way. You know what I mean? Like the some people don't wear fat well at all. I think you wear your fat well.
Thank you. See, yes, but now I am that fat. Now I tell people what I weigh, and they're like, "Yeah, I get it. That's the one. That's the number.
That's the number." Like, yeah. It's like the Carney game. They think they're like, "Oh yeah, that's what I would have had. Give me my teddy bear."
Because
I won.
Somewhere between 290 and where I am now, the face really jowled out. We really, and it's not, the beard's not helping anything the longer it gets. But that being said, I was big time. We're not going to say the name, but you guys can guess. 216-474-0092.
I'm going to get the guy the old Peterlin pass on this one.
The Peterlin pass.
All right. Mac, did you hear any of the story off air? I can't remember anymore.
I heard a little bit of it, yeah.
All right. No names.
Of course.
Maybe a name. No names. Uh-huh. Do you think I got big timed?
I think if there wasn't a reaction, I would think that you're overreacting a little bit. But seeing
what do you
as
mean that if there isn't a reaction, we're getting very
no. If there wasn't a reaction from said person,
all right. Then, I'm not going to say the name.
Yeah,
I will not be saying the name because I honestly wouldn't want to put somebody on the blast without
he's a nice
knowing
guy.
For certain.
He's a nice guy,
very nice guy. We could have just said nice person, and then it really opens up the world of possibilities. But I was at the tailgate with Garrett. We were sitting there talking. We had just finished a segment. And this person comes up on the stage, daps up Garrett. There's a great talk there. Looks over at me. There's a face. And then goes back to talking to G. Bush. Now listen, there's some ambiguity here.
The face is a peculiar thing. Maybe he was just trying to place you, though. Because, again, no cameras, no anything. Like, nobody knew what we looked like years ago.
I know there's a lot of fat guys in radio. But there's not that many fat guys on air. Okay, there's a lot of us. But the point
is, a decent amount.
They could have just said a name. You could have said, "Oh, hi, Ken," and I would have been like, "It's Nick."
You would have taken that as the biggest. You would not have been happy with that.
I would have been pissed.
You would not have. That person would be in. You would have buried him 10 feet under.
That's me saying their name right now. I would have told this story once a month.
You would have never let that go. Yeah.
I needed that. Thank you.
I like Ken. He likes the way I think. Okay. I like Ken.
You could have said Adam, and I would have been like, "What are you talking about?"
And that would have been fun.
Yeah, it would have been fun, right?
That would have been fun.
But I would have accepted that one. All right, guess the name. Zatnik Wilson says, and I won't tell you.
Unless you get it right.
Who big timed me?
Then I'll respond yes.
And oh, if the person that did or didn't big time me, if they tweeted me, and ask, was it me?
Wow, that's putting a lot on this person. To first off,
yes,
big time you, and then also then and have that
kinda
stuck
rough,
in their
putting
brain.
You on the spot, isn't it?
Have that stuck in their brain for all this time of like, oh man, I really did big time that guy, didn't I?
Yeah.
Like, I did that.
Yeah,
that
would be a real shame.
Maybe they feel bad about it too. After so many years, they're like, every time they think of you, they think of that moment, and they're like, geez, that's not my finest. And they're going to message you and be like, my dog died that morning. Yeah.
I'm glad.
I was going through a breakup. I was heavily drinking. All these type of things that we could go through, right? And then there we are.
And I'll respond. There's no real reason not to choose class.
Like, yeah.
No. I wouldn't. I wrote a. If somebody said their dog died,
that's funny.
I'd start crying.
You're like, really, that's funny because you gave a lot of love to G. Bush, so that's funny. But okay. So that's what gets you out of anyone's bad graces. Just be like, my dog died that morning.
Yeah, I'll start crying.
That's like it's the pass.
I go right
it's
back
the, it's the
to
pass for all of
you
it.
You understand? I have not recovered since we had to put Artemis down. I have not. I
you
seriously.
Know, for you proclaiming me not to be as much of a dog guy, even though I grew up with dogs all my whole life, you know, one of the movies that I've cried to in life is Marley and Me.
Is that when you started hating him? Because it made you feel something?
Stop yourself. Stop you! Come on.
You're like, I hate if dogs make you feel this way. I
didn't even know
them.
There was such a thing as not being a dog guy until you tried planting me as not a dog guy.
Do you have a dog?
I don't have a dog.
Not a dog guy. You're gonna get one.
I don't think I'm gonna get one.
Not very motivated
I
to get a
dogs.
Dog.
I had dogs. I did that. And then
you had. And then they stopped liking them.
I still love dogs. I think of dogs the way that some people look at children, where they're like, where they have like an, they're like an aunt or an uncle, and they like, they just come and visit the, their niece and their nephew, and it's like a sometimes thing. That's how I am with dogs. I'm so thrilled to be around them when I'm
and
around
you're thrilled
them.
Thrilled when you're not around them anymore.
No, I'm thrilled to be around them when I'm around them. I like my mom's dog. I like my sister's dog. Great dogs. But that's
all
what
the Peterlin
I, that's
dogs.
That's what I need. Dogs. The best dogs. Great dogs. The best of dogs.
The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.